Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. This is Sally Elcordy, and welcome to Public Advocate. We have a special edition today, and I mean special. We are having spitfires and fireworks for the 4th of July. Yes, we are. I'm having my fabulous friends, Catherine O'Shanahan and Camille Christie, on this show. I've been wanting to do a show just for spitfires, but spitfires and fireworks? I don't think I could have delivered better than I am this evening. All right, I'm going to pick up Catherine O'Shanahan, and we're going to have some fun now.
Hi there,
hey, Catherine.
Sally.
I can't believe we're doing this in the wee hours of the night or the late hours of the night.
It's been so long.
Catherine used to have her own program on another, I think on Blog Talk Radio, right? It was the K2 Autonomous Society.
Both. Yeah,
both
we
what?
Started put on Blog Talk, and we went on to a couple other ones too.
Oh, no,
so,
kidding.
Yeah. So then I quit doing radio.
Well, so. Not for long. You're on now. So, Catherine, you're in Canada, and you've been sending me all kinds of posts about independence, and you have started something that I want you to share with our listeners because it's very exciting. And
well,
you're going to tell us.
Thank you, Sally. Well, as you know, today's Independence Day in the U.S., and I say that kind of sort of tongue-in-cheek and heart and hand.
All of our listeners understand where you're coming from, Catherine. Believe me, I don't think anyone listens to this program who is enchanted currently with the state of affairs in the USA.
Anywhere else for that matter. And that's exactly that's exactly what's causing this state of global unity. You know, all these tools of division have been wedged between the people of the world. This group is told to hate that group. That group is told to hate this other group, and so on and so forth in a big, vicious circle. But we find that those so-called leaders who are pitting everyone against each other, they're all business associates. They're all either related by blood or they're related by money and business interests. Blood or business, always. So we just had our Independence Day in Canada, and again, tongue-in-cheek, heart in hand. I'll give you a little bit of a background. I just felt compelled to look this up. We don't call it Independence Day in Canada. We call it Canada Day. But a quick little search on it. Most Canadians think that that's the day that we got our Constitution and we became free of the British Crown. But Canada Day originally was called... I just went blank on what it was originally called. The British North America Act. And it was to celebrate the day that the king gave himself dominion over North America. So, woohoo, pop the cork. The king gave himself something that belonged to someone else. Go figure, what a shocker. So, and reading through, they changed the verbiage over time because the British North America Act wasn't really all that popular with people who thought they were free of the crown. So eventually they changed it to Constitution Day, which is kind of a joke because we didn't really have a constitution. So, they might as well have called it Snuffleupagus Day. We don't have one of those either. So, and eventually that didn't work because a few people clued into that. So they eventually changed, and by eventually, I mean 1982, they changed it to Canada Day. So then a quick little search of, that so obviously smelled bad. So I did a quick little search of U.S. Independence Day. And I was just as heartbroken to see the reality of that. You know, we all know, nobody in North America is actually as free as we're told we are. But what I found on the U.S. signatories of the Declaration of Independence, one, most of them were plantation owners. Two, of the non-plantation owners, a lot of them were merchants of what? Of slaves. And the rest of them were attorneys who, of course, wrote laws to regulate and allow slavery and the entire slave trade. But aside from that, it gets a little creepy here. What I found was that most of the attorneys who signed your Declaration of Independence attended a law school in England called Middle Temple. It's one of the four ends of the court exclusively entitled to call their members to the English bar, yada, yada, yada. The others being the Inner Temple, Gray's Inn, Lincoln's Inn. It is located in the wider temple area of London near the Royal Courts of Justice and within the City of London, which we know is a separate entity like D.C. The Middle Temple is the western part of the, quote, the temple, the headquarters of Knights Templar. That's kind of creepy. So there never was a break away from the British crown, but the people were told it was. And like I mentioned to you earlier, you know, Sally, I could hand you a pickle and tell you it's a machete. You still can't cut down shrubbery with it. They can hand us a steaming pile of crap and tell us it's the Constitution. They can tell us it's independence, but it's not. They simply went from slavery to the crown to slavery to the crown's franchise, which is, of course, still slavery to the crown.
Now, what are you going to do about that in Canada?
Well, being the meddling little Irish girl that I am, you know, I've been pretty vocal about how impressed I am with Iceland, and what a damn shame that we haven't seen a lot of this on just mainstream media. More people should know about this, and sadly, most people still watch mainstream. But you and
You and I post about it conscientiously. I think I posted about Iceland every single day for 3 months.
Well, long before I ever looked at it, it was because of you that I even looked at it. Now, I was thinking, you know, the situation here in Canada is bad enough. You're right next door. We know, you know, bad stuff rolls downhill. You know, I'm very involved in Africa. So I wasn't really looking at Iceland. I don't know. It just seemed to me like they didn't even have a problem. But one day I finally looked at one of your Iceland posts and went, holy smokes. What a beautiful symphony of putting your foot down that was. So
started in the most rudimentary way with pots and pans.
Oh, and like the, in a case of, you know, you're bloody well going to hear us. No, we're not going away. And to build a government that is truly for the people, by the people, to jail the bankers, wow, what a concept. So, you know, maybe that's proof that cold, clean air really, you know, improves your thought process. Because we know they have plenty of that.
Yeah, they also have the least rate of vaccination in Iceland.
Well, this is a case of them not putting up with this crap. So, you know, they jailed their bankers. They jailed the criminals behind the same damage that's happening everywhere. It's the same, you know, same smell, different heat. But what they did about it in Iceland, I think, is, like I said, it's a symphony of put your foot down. So,
I don't know if you recall, they had 60 earthquakes after all that.
Well, that's not really a shocker.
No, it's not.
You know, that obviously somebody was sending them a message, and even that didn't work. And once your foot's down, it's down. There's no moving it. Once your eyes are open, you can no longer turn a blind eye. So, obviously, the people of Iceland have woken up en masse. So I'd really like to see a billionth monkey effect come out of that. So, being as I'm so impressed with what they've done, and the way they rewrote the political playing rules, the election laws, everything around the election laws, term limits, reasonable limits on who can run. No bankers, attorneys, or executives can hold public office. Well, that's a jolly good idea. Then you won't have rotten bastards from Monsanto and Merck Pharmaceuticals running government agencies like the FDA or take your pick, you know. This is really the what we've seen in North American politics, and certainly everyone's more aware of American politics because, you know, Canada's smaller and doesn't matter. So, but we've seen on both sides of the border a situation where the corrupt corporations that now own our corrupt government are now taking over the agencies within the corrupt governments that they own. Monsanto is a perfect example. Former CEO, former head of their legal department, former take your pick, they've all moved over to the FDA or the Supreme Court. Well, no bloody wonder Monsanto is so well protected. And the act, commonly known as the Monsanto Protection Act, was mostly written by executives at Monsanto. So that's really like putting Ted Bundy in charge of dorm security. So, and it's not just here. You know, just recently in Egypt, you know, this whole Occupy Wall Street that spread to Occupy this, that, and the other thing, that all started at Tahrir Square. They've now come full circle. They had to get the tyrant out who wouldn't leave after their democratic election, and the military backed that tyrant, the dictator who wouldn't leave. And they finally got him out. They brought in their incumbent, and it turned out that he was full of shit, just like somebody that you have. That he, everything he said he would do, it turned out he did just the opposite. And it's just, again, I mean, a case of just trying to be Obama, which sadly Canadian Prime Minister Stephen Harper does too. I swear this man is out to do everything he sees happen in the White House. So, Tahrir Square, Egypt has come full circle, because to get their new tyrant out, their new lying dictator out of there, they have 33 million people. Again, talk about a symphony of put your foot down. 33 million people this time descended. Can't just say it's on Tahrir Square. It's more than all of Cairo. 33 million people. That's the population of Canada if you take out our politicians. That's the population of the populace, the general public of Canada, rising up against the against the political. So that's beautiful because, you know, you go to Egypt, you have a population that, yes, they're mostly Muslim, but there are among them Christians and there are Jews. To see a group of people that has been told for centuries on end to hate each other and to kill each other for these lying relatives and business associates, now they're all standing shoulder to shoulder. And they're saying, you know, come to think of it, maybe it doesn't matter so much if we pray with our hands in the air or clasp together or down on our knees. Maybe what really matters is that we learn to stand together. And that's right. Exactly what they're doing. I am so excited to see Cairo come full circle that way. This is where we have to put our foot down, wherever we are. So what I want to see, I want to see Iceland everywhere. So, you know, I like to open Facebook groups and see which ones go, which ones don't, and always in the hopes of getting some like-minded people to pull together and affect a change. We don't like what we have, change it. So I appreciate that some people will voice their concerns, and that's necessary. But beyond that, like, we can't just beat a dead horse. It's one thing to complain about the situation, maybe just so we don't blow up, but we certainly have to do something about it, take back our power. That's what Iceland did. So we have a group that we're calling Iceland Cometh, because I really want to see it come. So, but then to celebrate Canada Day.
I'm joining that group.
Yeah, so, and to celebrate Canada Day, what I'd really like to see in Canada is a true republic. Now, you know, I'm not a fan of the Democrat-Republican paradigm in the States. I can't call myself a Democrat or a Republican in that way, or a Democrat for that matter. But in the true sense of a republic, independent of the crown, independent of other nations. Live next door just fine and dandy, but we should not be dependent. We should not be controlled or owned by. So So, and certainly, you know, I'm sure her grandchildren love her just fine, but she's not my queen. She's not the queen in Canada, except for legally, because that's what it says on paper. Why? Because one of her great-grandfathers somewhere along the way said so, just because he said so. So we didn't consent, and that's what we have to, we all, again, regardless of where we are, if we don't consent, we have to say so. No, I don't consent. Am I going to kneel to the queen? No. I'm not kneeling to the queen. I'm not kneeling to Obama. Man's barely president of the U.S. He sure as hell is not king of the world. Stephen Harper, and thanks to you, my friend, here I spend so much time looking at politics south of the border and in other locations where I've got projects going on. I didn't notice this until you slid this by me. In May...
Say it again. You didn't realize what?
I didn't realize this one. This piece of news slid past me until you slid it over to me. You sent this to me. In May, the Canadian federal courts deemed our 2011 federal elections fraudulent, which begs the question, why the hell is Stephen Harper still occupying that office? I'd say he's trespassing.
Good question. So,
you know?
So I just read the title and sent it to you, but tell me more about that, if you will.
Well, I'll give you the skinny, and I remember when this, of course, came out in the news at the time, and it just got buried with, you know, the usual weapons of mass distraction. There were cases electors registering to vote in neighborhoods they didn't live in, candidates running in ridings that they were in no way associated with, and of course this caused a little uproar. But a Canadian uproar is not generally a big noticeable roar. So those who did get involved were enough of a disturbance to those trying to push it through that rather than have that come to full light, of course another mass distraction came up. And you know, like we look at U.S. mainstream media and we see that there's a lot of distraction there. Same crap that we have in Canada. You know, this came along. I'll tell you, last summer, what we were fed, the absolute blatant propaganda, what we were fed about Iran was just, I mean, off the charts. I've never seen this before. I almost fell over laughing. I don't watch television, but I was visiting my father. He's in his 80s. If he wants to turn on the boob tube, no one's going to say anything to him because nothing says but out like 81. So he's sitting there with his 86-year-old wife, and they're watching the news. And I walk by, and I noticed they mentioned Iran, so I stopped and listened. And they're explaining how basically everyone in Iran is a terrorist. Was the long and short of it. Of course, they used more words to pad it in such a way that the viewer would feel educated with enough padding. But through all of this, there's a little sign up in the background in the corner of the screen. Well, it's brought to you by TD Canada Trust, which is a major bank here. Well, TD Canada Trust was already in the news for shutting down all the bank accounts of Iranians in Canada.
Wow.
They just arbitrarily shut their accounts. So those Iranians couldn't even go withdraw their funds and say, fine, screw you, I'll go to another bank. No, they're just without money now. That's robbery.
Yeah,
so
that's
TD
robbery.
So TD Canada Trust is sponsoring the so-called news flash that all Iranians are terrorists, especially the students. And they've got some woman that they introduced as an activist who's the on the spot standing in front of the Iranian consulate in Ottawa, standing there with her microphone. They're calling her an activist. No, that's another lying puppet. There's a world of difference between an activist and a lying puppet. So, you know, it's bad enough we have our false prophets who I'll give them this. At least they went to the trouble of building a following, and maybe bring out enough truth to at least gain some respect, even if it's ill placed. But to have this woman call herself an activist and stand there and explain to the bleating sheep in Canada that every Iranian is a known terrorist, if I could have reached in the tube and slapped her face, I would have, Sally.
Right,
but, that's just my Irish temper, though. So, but this is what we get from all the talking heads. Again,
so
it's always good.
Tell us a little bit about your plan to establish a republic in Canada.
Well, I can't even take credit for it being my plan. I really see that the Icelandic model is beautiful. That is pristine. We look at failed revolutions. We can look at what went right and what went wrong, and hopefully improve on what went right, and certainly hugely improve on what went wrong. You know, when I was younger, I was a firefighter. I was trainer facilitator for my department. After every incident, whether it was a house fire, bushfire, car accident, whatever, we always had to go gather at the fire hall when we were finished at the scene. And we would go through a full incident review. Not naming names, always, at this point, I arrived at the scene. A team member did this, never Bob did this or Bill did that. So just to review, to make sure that we always perform better the next time around. So maybe we ought to do a little bit of that. That's a big part of why language has been taken away upon invasion. There are very few people who speak Gaelic to this day.
Right.
Go to West Africa. There are over 400 local languages, dialects, in Nigeria alone. But their most common language across West Africa was at one point Ido, which is not spoken very much anymore. Well, guess what? If you can't speak Ido, you can't pass down the stories of old, because there are no words for some of those words. In English, there isn't a word for some of those. Just like in some languages, some of the older languages, there isn't a word for lie or betrayal, because it didn't happen. There was no word for law because there were no laws to impose. There was never a word for snuffleupagus until Sesame Street came along. So by separating us from our language, they separate us from our history, and history teaches us an awful lot, sure does, hindsight. One, when you see a crime repeated by the same group of people over and over and over, well, that's what you call an established MO. And that's what we see within certain families and business associations, a strongly established MO. And it doesn't matter which of the major industries you look at, in the oil industry, in the what they call the healthcare industry, and hang on, hold on, my head's been saying that word term, but the banking industry, in every way, they've repeated that strong MO. Part of their strong MO is taking out the bards. Now, the bards, that's what we would now call the media. And, of course, they took over the media. They took out the bards in the old days. They put in their own little talking heads. They called that media. But, again, you can't cut down shrubbery with a pickle. That's not media. But then along comes alternative media, hell-bent on getting the truth out, and what happens? Oh, some of their cars blow up. Some of them have single-car accidents. Some of them have... Some of them go hang themselves in their garage, which seems to be a pretty favored method of getting rid of an information leak. So, again, with the strong MO, that's an established MO. But you see it over and over. You come to recognize it. What we're seeing in more recent times, though, is a rapid frequency of the same story. They're repeating the same actions with much greater frequency.
Catherine, I really hate to cut you off, my friend, but I have to pick up my next Spitfire, Camille Christie. And so if you're welcome to stay on with us, or I will just bid you adieu and pick her up and allow her to say her piece. I really would like very much for you to send me the links to those two groups, one of them being the Iceland Comet, and the other one being Republic of Canada. So I will post them directly under the screen so that people who listen to this program can join them.
Beautiful. Thank you, Sally. I would greatly appreciate that. Well, I'm going to bow out then. I'll send those off to you. God love you for speaking up, Sally.
Well, thank you, Catherine O'Shanahan, for coming on our Spitfires and Fireworks show for the 4th of July. Take care, sweetheart. Okay, bye. And, okay, my next guest is Camille Christie from Connecticut. I'm thrilled that she's coming on. Long-awaited interview with Camille. I just pushed on Camille. If you can hear me, you'll be coming on soon, I hope. Come on, Camille. Oh, no, what's going on? Oh, okay. Hi, Camille.
Heck, now can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, yay.
Yay.
I didn't hear unmuted until after, so.
How many huge dogs do you have, Camille Christie?
Well, huge ones... Really huge ones, probably 10, and then the other 8 range from medium to small.
And how many are there?
18 altogether.
You are totally kidding me.
No. Nope.
I can't even fathom that.
It's even my husband can't. But
I mean, really, this is startling. And which is the old timer who hasn't been doing so well recently?
We actually have 2 of them. We have OG, who's a deaf 16-year-old crossbreed, and then there's Mahatma, who is a Chow cross. So, but they've they came to me within the last year or so. So they didn't come to me till they were over 12 years old. I take in the ones that were either beaten or have physical problems or maybe a little bit of a behavioral quirk that other people either, wouldn't be able to deal with. And then shelters can't adopt out animals like that because it's a risk, and then it could come back on the shelter. So I take them.
Wow. Well, I have a nephew who's just gaga for dogs. At one point I said to him, you were a dog in another life, weren't you? Because he just so related to them. And he looked at me like usually people look at adults like, oh, I'm a kid and you're an adult. He looked at me like, no one has ever understood me before. You are the first person who gets me. And he was like 5. So he said, yes, I was a dog in another life. And I said, okay, what did you look like? He said, I was brown and I was this high. It was amazing. So I'm thinking maybe over the summer at some point he could visit your incredible...
He's more than welcome. The menagerie loves children.
Do kids come and visit your dogs? I mean,
the dogs. They're very good with children. Their order of preference is children, then women, and men come somewhere after bathing, nail clipping, and bubonic plague.
Really, all of them.
For the most part, unfortunately, most abusers are men. And so, because I take in the ones that were so badly abused, they certainly have an aversion to men in many cases.
Actually, he is now all grown up, so he looks like a man. But I guarantee they will like him.
They do. I mean, there are certain men that can go in there, irrespective of size or, you know, color or build. There are just some people that they like and some that they don't. I have a female here who is not enamored of too many people. And she has a particularly stronger dislike of men. They have to really earn her trust. But she adores my vet, thank you, Lord. One time a man came over. He had heard about, you know, how many dogs I had, and he came to visit and talk about dog training. And he was a shoo-in for my vet. I mean, from the build to the color of his hair to everything. And I brought him out into the back porch, and Bahar took one look at him and proceeded to lay him out in lavender. And she was actually torqued. She felt like she had been duped, you know, like he was trying to pull a fast one on her. So she knew, you know. So
she knew what?
Even from far away, even without getting close enough to really get a good whiff of him, you know, she knew. So they have an. She knew that this was not Doc. Like I said, this man that came to visit was a shoo-in for my vet. He was almost a dead ringer for him.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
You understand now?
I thought,
yeah,
he
was.
No.
Not a substitute. No, he was. But he was really. He was almost a dead ringer. Like I said, from the hair color to beard, the way he comported himself, even his build and his height. And boy, she just took one look at him, and her look on her face changed. You know, so it's a labor of love. You know, I mean, it's not for everybody, but over the course of the years, I need less and less human company, and so this works very well for me.
Right,
because
okay.
I think I too was like, I'm like your nephew. I think I was a dog. I mean, I think I still am. I'm just in human form.
Right. I thought of that of you immediately. I thought this woman has such
actually. I'm a wolf more than a dog. I'm
right.
Much more primal than a dog.
Well, you are.
But,
in fact, right next to your name, it says Camille Christie Wolf Spirit.
Wolf Spirit. I most certainly did. I said, wait, I know her. You know, these guys are. They're an experience, but I mean, it's a life change too. You know, I mean, I've, you know, my social life is, you know, four legged with fur, you know, but I would never be able to do this if I didn't treat homeopathically. If I were to use conventional meds on them and vaccinate the crap out of them the way most protocols call for, these guys would not be living nearly as long as they do when they're in my care. And that came about through years of experience. You know, you start hearing little nags. It's like when you started first hearing about, you know, the dangers of vaccines for children, when we start putting the, you know, facts and stuff together and going, hey, wait a minute. You know, I think we're being fed a line of crap. And it's the same thing with animals. And so I stopped vaccinating them by the time they were 5 years old, thinking they had enough antidotes and we would titer them. And even then we found, one shot usually gives them enough. And in many cases, and now the last few pups I took in never even had the full series. I just give them the one shot and that's it. And then the only other thing they get is rabies.
I wouldn't give them anything. If I were to have another dog, that dog would receive nothing.
It would depend on the lineage. It would depend on the lineage. If they come from raw-fed, non-vaccinated parents, then, yeah, I would not vaccinate. But if they came from a compromised environment, I think the first shot is not out of the question. But I much rather give them either individual or in halves, but when you get those cocktails with, you know, 7-in-1 combo into this tiny little body, And quite frankly, Sally, while I'm no scientist, nor do I have any scientific backing, I certainly have enough anecdotal evidence over the course of the 20 years that I've been doing rescue, in the last 25 years, I've always had 10 or more animals, and the last 10 of those have been closer to 20. So the ones that I dutifully vaccinated, you know, anytime a card came in, I was like, oh my God, I'm a week late, bad parent. Those were compromised and already showing signs of either autoimmune problems or cancer, those kind of things, by the time they were 6, 7, 8 years old. And that's way too young to be having that. That's way too young. That's not normal. Well, but the vets have you think, make you think, oh, no, that's normal. They're getting on in years. But think about your grandparents and your great-grandparents, those of you out there who are, I'm in my 60s, so think of your grandparents and your great-grandparents. Their dogs lived to be, it wasn't unheard of them to live to be 18, 20 years old. You don't get that anymore. And you're lucky if you can get 10 now. And yet I have four, two that are 16, two that are 15, two that are 14, and these are animals that came out of rescue, so that means they were abused, which tends to shorten their lifespan just by virtue of how much stress they've been through.
Right. Now, what made you decide to adopt all of these animals? You've never lived without animals? You've always had them?
I could live without humans easily, but without animals, you may as well just kill me. I understand them, they are who they are. They accept you for who you are. And while there can be some cunning animals who are smart enough to play you, for the most part, no, they're very pure. And, so it just, the ones that I take in, I seem to be special cases. I'll hear about it, and it, almost like it was meant to be. I don't go out there looking for them. I don't need to. People are always contacting me. Now I have to put a no vacancy sign. We simply can't, because we don't get any funding. I'm not a 501c. I have an aversion to paperwork and having to answer to anybody. So
right.
We do this just on Joe's salary. And my husband really busts his rear end, and less we're making ends meet, and it's very scary.
It is scary. You bet it's scary. Everybody is in the same exact situation. Middle America is feeling as poor as can be, and certainly as indebted as can be. So what you're speaking about is something that I don't know who's not feeling, and who's not scared.
Yeah, it's, so for us, that's why, first of all, we need to lighten the load, not that I don't feel like I'm 62, and so it's not because I feel like I'm getting old and I can't. But quite frankly, Joe and I have given up our lives outside of, him busting his butt at work there and me busting my butt here. There's no such thing as a vacation. We haven't left here together, and I can't remember when, because we can't leave the place unattended. It would be nice to, be able to take a Sunday drive, just get in the car and go. I don't know what that's like anymore. The planets have to align. The wind has to be from the right direction. And, any number of variables have to be in the right, fall into the right parameters for us to get out of here together. So, I urge any of your listeners out there, do your research, check in the vaccines, and talk to people who treat their animals homeopathically and with Chinese herbs. Not only is it, it's not injurious in the least form, whereas when you look at conventional meds now, whether they're for humans or dogs, the list of adverse side effects should be enough to make somebody with the IQ of 2 realize that this is not something you should contemplate. So, you know, check into homeopathy, check into Chinese herbs, check into alternate modalities that will, you know, not only buy your animal many, many years, but quality years.
Right. Well, I had, my dog was vaccinated, and I'm so sorry to say, the veterinarian, this is before I had woken up, and the veterinarian had said, come in for his checkup, and he gave my itty-bitty little chihuahua two shots that he would have given a Great Dane. And the poor baby couldn't sit for 10 days, then his throat started to bubble out, and he was on death's door. And we took him, and I told all 14 veterinarians who paraded through and looked at them and said, we've never seen anything like it. And I said, well, it hasn't been the same since those shots. And don't you know, they all said, oh, well, that's very unusual, very unusual. After they gave me a $4,000 bill, I canceled my life-awaited trip to Egypt. And I said, right before I got on the elevator to the lead surgeon, I said, by the way, what do you think it was? And she said, it was the vaccine. Like, duh. So I thought, you people really are companions, aren't you? And we,
you know,
are
to me that's evil, to know what they know and to continue to smile at you and pretend that they give a rat's patootie about your animal, when they know darn well that what they're doing is injurious. I have a problem with that.
Yes, me too. Same with pediatrician.
I have a problem with that.
Anybody who inoculates children, they actually know what they're doing, and they continue to do it regardless. So I think that there's a special place in hell for them. I really do believe there is.
Yeah, no, that's evil. To the very people who are supposed to be helping you, you know. I wind up with a lot of clients that way because many times the vaccines will cause behavioral issues as well.
As in children.
You know, yeah. And so, you know, then there's that aspect of it. You know, so it's infuriating that they know what they know. And if they don't, then they have no business being in practice. You know, if you're going to be, if that's the way you operate.
Right.
But unfortunately, well, you know, our kids and our animals are paying the price. So all we can do is just keep telling people.
Well, trying to ban vaccines, it never occurred to me that we should legislate to ban them for animals, too. It's a blanket, ban them, you know. I'm not separating the animals from the humans in my quest to stop this, you know?
Yeah, but there's so many people that are just so brainwashed, you know, and the first thing that comes up, first word you hear is pandemic.
Ugh,
the minute you start talking about
autism. The pandemic is autism. You want to talk about pandemic? Let's talk about autism. Which I love the fact that everyone's going, oh, it's the GMOs, oh, it's the chemtrails, oh, it's the fluoridation. No, it's the measles vaccine. It's the live virus. That's what it is, you know, and certainly a little
bit. Well, the other things are just exacerbating factors.
Right. Oh, absolutely. But I'm trying to tell people, you want to talk about autism in particular, we must talk about the live measles virus. Other than that, yes, everything else is bad for us in a myriad of ways, including Alzheimer's, including all kinds of skin problems and brain damage. Brain damage is not, autism is a subcategory of brain damage, but there's a lot of brain damage that can be caused that's not autism from these metals. So, I mean, and I have to tell you, cannabis oil, I'm hearing, is reduced a one brain damaged child from 100 seizures a day to none. Took a few months to get him to none, but he is at no seizures per day now.
It's definitely, you know, the thing is, it is treatable, but their aim is not to find the root of things. There is, like, let's just put a Band-Aid over it. Here's a vaccine, here's a pill, guess what? You guys caused this in the first place. You know, so they're just, it's repeat business. when your dogs get sick from all the vaccines they were given and their system starts shutting down, where are you going to take them? Back to the vet. It's a freaking win-win situation for the vets.
Oh, it is. And it's
same thing with
true.
The doctors. Where do you go? Right back to the hospital. Right back.